Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
When I was a child, I had a mother and father who loved me very much and took good care of me, and for that I am grateful. But my father had certain questions that he would ask, and I never liked those questions. Now, there were some questions that I was fine with. If one of my parents asked me what I would like for my birthday, happy to talk about that. If I was asked what I'd like for dinner, that was a great question, a happy question. But there were three questions in particular that especially my father would sometimes ask. And if I heard one of those questions, I knew that basically I was in trouble. The first question that was troubling to me was if I heard my dad say, "Who do you think you are?" Wow, I must have said or done something that was very wrong. I must have been acting pridefully. I must have been exhibiting some rebellion. In our house, if you wanted to disagree with the parents, there was a phrase that you used to preface your question or statement, and that was, "I beg your pardon." There was a very clear hierarchy. The parents were in charge, the kids were not. And I thank God for that. But if Dad said, "Who do you think you are?" You didn't try to answer that question. You started with an apology because you had obviously done something that gave the impression that you were very mistaken in your understanding of who you are. Second question I hated to hear from Dad: "Where do you think you're going?" Basically, that question translated, "You're not going anywhere." If he asked, "Where do you think you're going?" I was on the wrong trail. So that was the second question that I hated to hear from my dad. The third question that I hated to hear from my dad: "What do you think you're doing?" If Dad asked that question, it means I was up to something stupid. And he had plenty of opportunities to use that question. I did stupid things sometimes as a child, and I'm sorry to say there are still occasions in my life where I do stupid things. But if he asked the question, "What do you think you're doing?" I needed to stop right away. Now, I said I hated those questions as a child, but as I got older, I discovered that those questions weren't bad at all. They were brilliant. They are three of the most important questions in life. The first question, "Who do you think you are?" is a question that all of us have to answer whether or not somebody else is asking the question. Who do you think you are? What is your identity? That is what that question is all about. And there are many people whose lives are miserable because they have never understood what God says about our identity. The second question has to do not with identity, but with what comes out of that, and that is, what is your destiny? Who you are and what you understand about who you are shapes your understanding of where you're going. What is your destiny? Where are you headed? Where do you think you're going? When I was a teenager, I used to ask my friends, "What do you plan on doing after graduation?" And they'd tell me about college, military, job, whatever. And I'd say, "And then what?" And they'd say, "Well, you know, I'd like to marry and have my own house, maybe a farm or whatever, and then and raise a family. And then what? Well, you know, I mean, I guess someday retire. And then what? Well, fish. And then what? Well, I guess die. And then what? You see, if we live to be 120 years old, that is a very short span of time compared to forever. And so the most important question about your future is, where are you going to spend forever? What's your destiny? That is directly tied to your identity. And there's a third question. And that was the question Dad used to ask sometimes. What do you think you're doing? Your sense of identity and your understanding of your destiny will shape your understanding of your calling. What you do in this life is shaped by your understanding of who you are and where you're going. If what you are building in this life, if what you're investing in this life is just for this life, you are wasting your life. You need to be investing in eternity. Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal. If you build your life in obedience to God's word, you're building something that's going to last forever. But if you build your life just trying to do what you think is best, you're building on sand. And whether you build on the rock or whether you build on the sand, you're going to have to go through the storms. All of us do.
Thank you for tuning in to Abiding in Christ. This radio broadcast is brought to you from the campus of Wares Valley Ranch. The ranch is a home and school for kids that God allowed my wife and I to start in 1991. And through the years, children from all over the country in various crisis situations have found a safe haven at the ranch. While here, they learn about a Heavenly Father who loved them so much that He sent Jesus to save them. If you would like to join in supporting this ministry, but you're thinking, what can I do? Well, consider joining a growing group of people who've made a commitment to support these kids by leaving a gift to Wares Valley Ranch in their will. In doing so, you'll become a member of what we're calling Legacy 145. You can learn more at wvr.org. Just click on the icon that says Legacy 145. Because Psalm 145 says, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. That's what Legacy 145 is all about. Again, wvr.org, and look for the Legacy 145 icon.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And so let's talk for just a minute about our identity. What is your identity? Who do you think you are? Some of you have heard people telling you, you can be anything you want to be. Now, they're trying to encourage you to set goals and go for it, but the fact of the matter is, they're telling you something that isn't true. You can't be anything you want to be. Try being a giraffe. I wasn't happy with a recent Supreme Court decision because it had to do with people's ability to determine who they are based on what they feel. They can self-identify as this, and the law now says, according to the Supreme Court, that we have to recognize that. We have to honor their decision about who and what they are. So, what if I self-identify as the ruler of the United States? Presidency, Congress, Supreme Court, that's a thing of the past. I self-identify as the ruler of the United States. Is the Supreme Court going to bow to that? Would Congress say, oh, well, we have to respect the fact that he self-identifies as the ruler of the United States, so I guess we have to say he is the ruler of the United States and treat him that way? No, I don't think so. They're crazy, but they're not that crazy yet. The fact of the matter is, what I believe about who I am doesn't determine who I am. It does determine whether or not I'm going to live a life that is grounded in truth, or whether I'm going to live a life that is based on a lie. There are a lot of people who think that they are children of God, and they're not. Jesus said to some very religious people in his day, you are sons of your father, the devil. Wow. That's strong language, Jesus. I didn't know you talked that way. Yes, he does. But there's wonderful news. All of us can be born again. We're invited to receive eternal life. Jesus told one of those religious people in his day, you cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God unless you're born again. But listen to what happens when you are born again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You see, it is possible not just to know who you are, it is possible to allow God to change who you are. You can invite him to make you what you cannot be on your own. I said a few moments ago, if I decide to become a giraffe, or that I am a giraffe, I've always noticed I have a long neck, I think I'm a giraffe. Well, that doesn't make me a giraffe. If I feel like a giraffe trapped in a human's body, still doesn't make me a giraffe. But if I realize that I'm a sinner who deserves God's wrath and I want to be forgiven, I can come to him and ask him to have mercy on me, and he will. Not he might, he will. I can ask him to change me and adopt me into his family and make me his child forever. And he does. That's how you become a child of God. You can't be born that way. You have to be born again, Jesus said. That's not true for some people. It's true for all people. The only way to enter the kingdom of God is to be born again. I want to ask you honestly, have you been born again? Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Because apart from that, there is no eternal life. Your destiny is hell apart from Jesus. You can throw up arguments and questions and say, I don't believe, all you want. It won't change reality any more than believing you're a giraffe will make you a giraffe. But if you realize, I have sinned, like all people, I have sinned, and you ask God's forgiveness. God forgives sin. God forgives sinners. And God doesn't just forgive us. He cleanses us from evil, and he changes us from the inside out, and he declares us his dearly loved children. The Apostle John writes in 1 John that we are children of God. That's where I find my identity. It's not just who I am, it's whose I am. I'm his child. No matter what family you grew up in, no matter what your parents were like, you can be a child of God, and that lasts forever. I plead with you, while you have the opportunity, Trust Jesus. Ask him to save you. Ask him to give you that new birth and to make you part of his family. Then, when the question comes, who do you think you are? You can answer with confidence and in truth, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. When you know that, that determines your destiny. If I'm a child of God, I am going to be with my Father forever. Jesus said in John chapter 14, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I am going to prepare a place for you so that you can be with me. God wants you in his family. God wants you to spend forever with him. You don't have to sneak in. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are welcome. He loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his Son to die for you so that you could be completely forgiven, not partially forgiven, but completely, totally, 100% forgiven, made clean, robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ on the basis of what he has done for us. My destiny is with him forever. Jesus is preparing a place even now. There'll be no more sickness, no more suffering or pain. We'll never be lonely or confused or fearful again. He promises to wipe away every tear from our eyes. And the beauty and the joy of heaven is beyond anything we can even imagine. In light of that, what do you think you're doing? Christian, if you are a child of God, your calling here and now is to serve Christ in preparation for the day when we gather at his throne. And so everything we do now is eternally significant. It's important because we're doing it for him. We're doing it as a thank you to God for what he's done for us. That's why the Bible says, whatever you do, in word or in deed, whatever you do, eating or drinking, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Everything. Athletics, academics, the way you study, the things you learn, what you do with that knowledge, all of that is for him. Why are you doing what you're doing? Because I'm his. Because I'm headed for glory. If my goal in life had been to make a lot more money, I think I could have. But my goal wasn't money. My goal was obedience. And God put a call on my life when I was a teenager and showed me what he wanted me to do. Not everybody gets a call in their teens that they recognize. So what do you do if you're not sure exactly career-wise or whatever, what you're supposed to pursue? Well, there are some things very clear in the scripture about what you're supposed to do meanwhile. You're supposed to love one another. You're supposed to tell the truth. You're supposed to flee from immorality. You're supposed to rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, Paul says. Rejoice. What are you supposed to do? Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what you're supposed to do. That's the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. God tells us things in his word, and don't ask him to tell you what you're supposed to do long term if you're refusing to do right now what the Bible clearly says all of us are supposed to do. Your calling is from God. You may wonder why some things happen in your life and some prayers seem to go unanswered. You may suffer repeated crushing disappointments and discouragement that test your faith. But if you continue in obedience, you will see in eternity that all God's promises are true. Our greatest point of blessing is often tied to our greatest pain. God is not cruel. But his power is manifested most clearly in our weakness. And so do not be afraid. Whatever you go through, know that God is at work. Remember the life of Joseph, who was a slave in Egypt, unjustly treated. And yet the Bible says repeatedly, while he was going through all of that, that the Lord was with him. You know why it says that? Because the Lord was with him. It's true. It's not about how we feel. We need to know the truth. And the truth is, if you will do what you do for the glory of God, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not just my opinion. It is the word of the Lord. Trust him. If you've never received him, I plead with you, ask him to save you. If you have done that, believe his promise. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And once you've been saved, you can know, I am a child of God. That's my identity. I'm headed for heaven. That's my destiny. I'm doing what I do for the glory of God. That is my calling. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you do hear the cry of all who call out to you for mercy. We pray that you would help us to trust you and find our identity in you, because it's all by grace, and yet because of grace, none of us have to be afraid if we trust in Jesus. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Friends, these are difficult days, and many people are hurting. There's pain and anger, fear and frustration, strong emotion and confusion. Where do we turn for comfort and direction? In Psalm 61 and Psalm 62, these are some verses that speak through the millennia that our safety and our refuge, the place to look for justice, the place to look for truth, is in the Lord. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O God, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. May God help us to rest in him. If you have a specific prayer request and you'd like for us to join you in bringing it to the Lord, call us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's 866-41-ABIDE. And we'll be glad to take your prayer requests and lift it up before the throne of God.